colleagues, welcome to this Advance HE podcast on employability. This forms part of our 6-month longitudinal member benefit on student success, and this is going to include a range of resources and activities, including 2 new literature reviews on both employability and access, retention and attainment. My name is Katrina Bell, and I'm a senior advisor in learning and teaching at Advance HE, and it's my great pleasure today to introduce 3 international panelists from our global member institutions. We've specifically invited them as they are leading some really interesting work around employability at their institutions. And we were keen to share their perspectives, particularly from members in international countries and the devolved nations in the UK. So I will just go through now and introduce each colleague in turn, and then they will tell you a bit more about their institution. So if I could come first to Ruth Poor. Ruth is Head of Teaching and Learning Development at Les Roches in Switzerland. So welcome, Ruth.
Thank you very much, Katrina.
Great to have you here. And tell us a little bit more about Les Roches, if you wouldn't mind.
So Les Roches is a small higher education institution in Switzerland specialised in hospitality management education. And we have branch campuses in Spain and in China. Our student body on the Swiss campus numbers up to 1,000 students, sometimes a little under that. And we have undergraduate and graduate programmes, all in hospitality management.
Fantastic. Thanks very much indeed, Ruth. Our second panellist is Dr. Isra Pramalsuk, who is Assistant Rector at the Surinari University of Technology in Thailand. So welcome, Isra. And again, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit more about SUT.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me, and it's my pleasure to be with everyone here today. My name is Isra, as Katrina said, and I'm from Surinari University of Technology, or SUT, in Thailand. We are the first university in the country that introduced what we call Cooperative and Work Integrated Education, or CWIE, to our curriculum. It's similar to the internship program that you all may know. So we basically place our students in their final years to work full-time 4 months in workplaces. And at the end, you know, most of the time they get job offer from the workplaces right away after their graduation. We have to thank Professor Vijit Sisan, who is the founding rector of our university, introduced CWIE to Thailand, even not just to our university. And he happens to be the first principal fellow of AHE in Thailand as well.
Fantastic. Thanks very much indeed, Isra. And our third panellist is Dr. Jackie Brodie, who's an assistant professor in entrepreneurship and innovation at Edinburgh Napier University in Scotland. So welcome, Jackie. And again, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about Edinburgh Napier University.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you and welcome, everyone. It's just amazing to see everyone here today and to speak to them about what we do at Edinburgh Napier. So my university, Edinburgh Napier, was founded back in 1964. So quite a modern university. And we teach a range of subjects, including, you know, management, computing, and nursing, with around 19,000 students in total on our 3 main campuses, which is spread within Edinburgh. So personally, I work in the business school, and it's one of the largest business schools in the UK, so quite a lot of students to support at 8,500. We're seeking to be the business school for empowerment, enterprise and employability for all. So we get the opportunity to teach a variety of different subjects like entrepreneurship, strategy and tourism, lots of different modes of delivery, and even locations in terms of online and international. And I got the pleasure of being the head of learning and teaching there, so able to support all aspects of employability. And to that end, I was particularly involved in our school's Get On Board programme, which sought to provide students an opportunity to spend some time shadowing a charity board to enhance their employability skills. So that's a bit of a taster for you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much to the 3 of you. That just sets the scene for this conversation that we're going to have now. So my colleagues are going to discuss some questions that we've posed to them around employability, really bringing in their own experiences from their own institutions. And as I say, we've intentionally selected these colleagues because they're doing some fabulous work around employability. And we wanted that international and devolved nations perspective to share with members as well. So I'm going to start by posing a question, and I'm going to come to Ruth first of all. How has the approach to employability changed at your institution over the past 5 years, and what internal and external factors have influenced this?
Thank you, Katrina. So it's impossible really to think about the last 5 years without the huge beast of the pandemic in the middle of all of that. And the impact on the global hospitality and tourism sectors has been profound, as you all know. In the case of our institution, all of our students have embedded in their programs internships or work integrated learning and also field trips, always with an international flavour. And so we saw these interrupted. We have very important career fairs on campus with up to 100 companies coming to recruit our students. Those had to happen remotely. So we've seen a really profound impact in the last 18 months to 2 years. But going back to before that, we had already begun to completely overhaul both our on-campus professional development courses and the online courses that accompany students on their internships, and even the support offered to students during internships, all with the intention of improving student awareness and their ability to articulate what they have to offer in the workplace. I think that's very key to their success out in the workplace, their own understanding and awareness of what they can provide the workplace.
Fantastic, thank you. And Isra, Jackie, any areas of common ground for you there in relation to how your approach to employability has changed over the last 5 years? Isra, maybe if I come to you next.
Sure, obviously we have to talk about the increasing employability during the pandemic time. So we share a commonality there with Ruth. But before that, let me share with you a little bit about the internship program. Like I said, it's called CWIE program that we have been offering in Thailand for 30 years. It started back in 1991, and it started from our university alone. And after 10 years, the government realized the potential, the benefits of CWIE. So they stepped in, they put full support to that, and they even promoted CWIE to other universities in the country by telling them to follow SUT model. So that's one thing that we are proud of here at our university. The changes, of course, have been both for the internal factors and external factors. The internal factors have been our determination to make our internship programs, CWIE programs, even better. So we are thinking of placing our students in a longer period of placement. Instead of 4 months, we're extending it to 8 months or even a year. We have been placing our students abroad, and that's one issue that we need to talk about later when we think about the literature. And we are thinking of even extending our CWIE program to the postgraduate level as well. As for the external factors, like I said, COVID is one of them. The normal placements of our university is totally impossible, especially in hospitality area, because we cannot place our students to work in hotels or resorts like the way that we used to. And, you know, for a country like Thailand, which relies heavily on hospitality business, you know, so it was almost dead last year. So these students have to do something else. So I think maybe we'll hear from Ruth what her university offered to their students for placements. Another important external factor is our government's official support in the Higher Education Act 2019. The government says in the act that all the universities in the country have to offer CWIE. And another thing is, just last year, they announced what we call the CV platform, CWIE platform, as a national roadmap for CWIE development of all the universities in the country. And one key message in that roadmap document is that we have to double the number of our students each year, so from 100,000 to 200,000. So that's quite an ambitious aim that all universities have to achieve.
Wow, that's really fascinating and huge student numbers as well. Thank you, sir. Jackie, how about you? How have things changed for you over the last 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think as an institution, we've always had a focus actually on employability. We've always been involved in making it in the forefront. But I think what's happened over the last 5 years certainly is really seeking to make it an inclusive approach and really tailoring that approach. So building those opportunities through placements and internships and employee engagement and making sure the careers guidance is really focused on what the students need. And I think there's been a sizable investment at our university over the last 5 years in terms of the digital and supporting employability online. And that is really just to give us that wider, more inclusive reach to all our students. As you said, sometimes our students are studying overseas. We want to reach out to them at all points during their studies. So we've got a series of digital resources, really, and those tools allow us to enable the students to undertake professional development, studying modules online that support their employability and give them understanding and a deeper level of commitment to their own careers, so they're able to be more informed. And when they do get to speak to careers and skills advisors, they understand the value of the purpose of why they're learning about employability. And we've also spent quite a lot of money investing in our business incubators and just creating a sense of a community and staff and even alumni who are able to capture the opportunities that are in the workplace. So lots of really exciting things, I think, at a university level. But in terms of our school in particular, I mean, mean, obviously, as I said before, I was involved in our Get On Board, and that actually went on to win a CAPE for Advanced HE. And that really gave students a flavour and supported their employability within the charity sector. But currently what we're trying to do is embed it even more in the actual curriculum. So we've created something called the Employability Skills Programme, where students are developed every year of their study through a structured set of activities that really... it helps them create an evidence base for their own skills, and they're developing their communication skills, their collaborative skills, their creative problem solving skills. It's being developed in partnership with industry and obviously involvement with our student union. So lots of different aspects there, I think. And all of our undergraduate students now participate in this. And also we've widened up placements in the work-based learning opportunities to all of our programmes. So lots and lots of different changes, I think. And some of them obviously have been brought about, particularly the move to on digital, being speed became a quicker pace because of the COVID situation. And also lots of what we do are reflective of our students and their anxieties around a post-COVID world and what skills they're going to need and how resilient and how flexible they've got to be. So I think reflecting lots of what Ruth and Isra said about our students and making sure they're properly supported. I mean, as a nation, we're trying to respond to Scottish Government policy documents about skills and making sure we fill the skills gaps and making sure that we also respond to things such as Brexit, technological change and the global climate emergency. So I think they're all important aspects, which I think are the employability skills that we're developing or addressing. So, yeah, and there's also the theoretical perspective as well. And Advanced HE can often support us by giving that theoretical perspective, but also supporting us with case studies to help develop our understanding around these issues and making sure that we do support our students and allow them to take their role as future leaders in the economy and society.
Thanks so much. That's great. Is there anything within what you've all just said that you'd like to develop further as a conversation? Is there anything that springs to mind for the three of you?
There's one thing that I'd like to just mention in terms of the importance and the value of work integrated learning experiences. In looking at the literature, there are some literatures around negative work integrated learning experiences and how damaging these can be for students. So I looked at this in my research with some of our students, and in our undergraduate programs, we don't have just one, we have two work integrated learning, two full semesters embedded into their program. And what I discovered was that while students often have a negative or a problematic experience on their first internship, where they're very green and very new to the workplace, the second experience is incredibly valuable because they then reflect back on what they learned from the first work experience, that maybe it wasn't so damaging, but actually was helping them to build resilience, helping them to build their understanding of the workplace. And the second work integrated learning experience really consolidated their understanding of the workplace and what might be needed of them in the workplace. That was an important point to bring in.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Has that changed the way you support students for their first placements in any way at all?
It changed really the way in which we're supporting students on both placements and also what we're expecting of them in terms of the reflections they can bring back to campus from those experiences and how we sow those experiences into their on-campus learning when they come back on campus. For us, that's really important to acknowledge their experiences in the workplace when they come back into the courses they're taking on campus.
Great. Thanks, Ruth. And Isra, you look like you might have some areas of commonality there.
That's very spot on because it happens to our students as well. Unfortunately, we do only one placement and that we plan to do two placements. Like I said earlier, the students struggled a lot during the first month of their placement because it's like they're jumping to the new world. They have been in the cocoon, right, in the higher education environment for 3.5 years. And then we just send them out, work full time as staff. So the first month is very difficult for all of the students when they're reported back. But then they learn, they developed, they get better. And at the end, by the time they finish, they said, oh, it's too short. We want to stay longer. And one word that Ruth said is the word reflection. We ask them to do journals when they reflect what they did well or what they failed in that week. And then what would they do in the following weeks to make things better? Again, this is another similarity. We ask when they come back, they are different people. They're like the young professionals ready to go out for their real work, but they have to come back here to finish courses before they graduate. So reflection and holistic change in our students, I think.
Really interesting, really interesting. And Jackie, you're also nodding. So were there some areas of commonality with you?
There certainly is, and it makes us think about the student journey as a whole, doesn't it? And this need to scaffold learning before students actually enter placement. So we obviously give them a module before they do that, which, as you said, allows them to start reflecting about what they've learned so far and how they will be this professional in the workplace when they join their company. So I think that's important. I think peer mentoring, having someone support them throughout that whole placement to give them an opportunity to be that reflective practitioner is really, really beneficial. But then also getting them to think about how they'll use it when they go back into their studies as well, and seeing the links. For instance, in terms of dissertations, we often say to the students, did you encounter an issue that you'd like to explore further as part of your main honours dissertation? So that's tying up the whole student journey, but making sure it's scaffolded and supported all the way along.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thanks so much to the three of you. So the second question I was going to ask you links to the literature review that we're publishing as part of this member benefit around student success. So the literature review has really focused on the last 5 years of peer-reviewed publications and has brought through a number of new themes and aspects to it. I just wondered, were there any aspects of the literature reviews that you were particularly interested in and why? And I was going to come to ISRA first for that one.
Wonderful, thank you. That was impressive. I'm looking at the literature review that you have produced. Thank you so much. And there are so many things that I want to talk about, but I'll limit it to one or two.
Okay, great.
One interesting thing is about co-designing. Mm-hmm. Yes, in Thailand, definitely. This has been happening. Apart from co-designing, it's even co-investing. We have certain factories or companies who come and ask and give you this certain amount of money. We will buy you a machine. And then we will send experts from the factory or from the companies to teach our students on campus as a part of their CPYE cooperative education. And we even have some hotel personnel to design the hospitality curriculum with us as well. So that's co-designing, co-investment is definitely one thing that is related to employability. Another thing I mentioned earlier is about this topic about transnational students, right? And of course, you know, in Ruth's case, in Jackie case, you might not have problem because, you know, your students have good English already. But our students, you know, Thai students, most of the time we receive CPYE students from abroad to work in Thailand. But for our students to go out and work outside Thailand, there's always a, you know, problem with language barriers. Sometimes our students got rejection because their English is not that good. You know, so one point here is that language barrier could be a problem in terms of global mobility of our students.
Really interesting. Thanks, Esther. Jackie, Ruth, any parallels with you along those lines or any other aspects of the literature review that are particularly interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the key area I was interested to explore more really is how to make sure that we're providing students with flexible enough learning in terms of employability. I feel that flexible learning, it really empowers students to learn anywhere, anyhow. And I'm a program leader of an online program, an entrepreneurship program. And we've all just recently gone through the pandemic where we've needed to shift online and really break down the walls and the barriers that we had around employability. So I'm just really keen to explore that a bit and to think of the value for both the students and the stakeholders around this, particularly the employers who will send their staff members on these short learning experiences. So really interested in that. And I think also I'm interested in how we know what we do works and how do we measure that and how do we capture that and how do we know what the value is supposed to be. So there's still some unanswered questions, and I think looking at what you're attempting to do here will really support universities and the higher educational institutions to think further on those areas.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, the whole area around evaluations, really fascinating and still one for development. Ruth, how about your perspective?
Well, I'm very excited by this literature review. I love delving into the literatures and discovering what research is taking place. I'm particularly interested in theoretical framing, and there will be a chapter critiquing and conceptualizing employability. I'm very concerned about the potency of terminologies that we use. And even though we're talking about employability this morning, employability can be a really problematic term. Its link with employment outcomes and its dependency on market forces over which higher education has really no influence can be really difficult to manage, I think. And so I'm interested in exploring that. I'm also really interested to see that there's a section focusing on skill gaps and alignment with market needs. That kind of reinforces what I've just been saying around my issue with the term employability. I mean, hospitality management education has a really well-documented symbiotic relationship with the industry that it serves. We know that employment and employability outcomes are decisive for students choosing to come to La Roche, for sure. We have a fantastic reputation for employment outcomes. But even there, I found in my research that reorienting students to focus on their preparedness for a complex and dynamic workplace, which may be very different in a few years from the one they're looking out at now, is really important rather than a kind of a simplistic matching with current employer expectations. So I'm very interested in that area of the literature.
That's a fascinating point, and it links back to the point Jackie Annister were making earlier about how do you know what you're doing is working and what outcomes should you be measuring. So Jackie, any thoughts in terms of how you're evaluating your programmes for their impact and what you plan to do next in terms of developing or progressing them further? What's your main priorities?
I mean, I think from my perspective, it's important to speak to the employers and get their perspective. I also think, well, we need both the numbers, but also the qualitative feedback as well from students about the value of their learning. So I don't have any particular answers because I think this is a sector-wide discussion about what we all find valuable. But I think it's important to take on board the different stakeholder views, the government views about what they feel the university should be achieving. And also each individual university have their own perspective about their own value in their own society. So I think that's important to have that perspective as well. And as I said, to use different forms of measurements and different measuring points throughout the experience. And also different students are going to start from different levels as well in terms of employability. You might have a direct entry student who has spent some time in the workplace. So what are you exactly measuring and at what points? As I said, I'm really up for more further discussion around that.
Grand. That sounds a very sensible approach. Ruth, how about you from areas for future development?
So I completely agree with Jackie in terms of what you said around understanding the student perspective. I think the literature is filled with employer perspectives. And, you know, we have accusations of skill gaps and that, you know, higher education isn't always necessarily providing what employers want. But really looking at the student perspective is really important. In my research, I looked at the legitimacy of an institutional competency framework, perceived workplace relevance of the degree by the students, and their own sense of work readiness. And, you know, the quantitative data was really interesting to explore the relationship between those three. But where I became really fascinated was in interviewing students and discovering that, yes, indeed, they understand employability as an extrinsic term, as being all about the job market and how well they match these job descriptions out in the job market. Whereas work readiness, on the other hand, was a term that they understood as being intrinsic, as referring to their own preparedness, to their confidence, to their efficacy, to their resilience as they go out into the workplace. And these are areas that I think we need to be focusing sharply on. And so I'm super encouraged to see that in terms of assessments, there's a real shift away from traditional high-stakes exams and towards assessments that might provide students with opportunities to develop robust working practices. We see team-based learning, we see practice-based learning, we see even in assessments, interdisciplinarity appearing in assessments rather than viewing subjects in silos. And all of this is certainly supporting students in terms of their understanding of their preparedness.
Thanks so much, Ruth. That's absolutely fascinating. And yeah, we're trying to foster more students as partners approaches throughout a number of disciplinary areas as well. And it sounds like employability is absolutely perfect for that. I'm fascinated by your insights into the terminology and the different student perspectives around the word employability itself. It's fascinating. Isra, how about the Thai perspective? Where are you heading next and what are your priorities?
In terms of assessment, right, for our CWIE program, we normally ask the student to work on a project. So it's a project-based kind of placement. The project is agreed upon by the student themselves and the workplaces. And for the outcome of the project, the student's performance, work performance is evaluated by both the, we call job mentor, the people at the workplaces assigned to be the mentors of our students. And it's also evaluated, assessed by a academic supervisors who are lecturers from our university who visit our students at least once during their placement as well. So that's the assessment on the students' performance. And we also use reflection as part of assessment as well. We collect the weekly journals, the weekly reflection reports that the students have to collect over 4 months of their placement. And when they come back to the university, we have one day which all of the students in that term have to present their learning experience from the work placements. And that's the day when many of them will say, oh, and the workplace has asked me to go back to work at the workplaces after my graduation. So I already got a job even my graduation. So that is the assessment that we have been doing here at our university.
Wonderful. That's a pretty important outcome for any student. That's fantastic. So thank you so much, everybody, for your time, and I've really enjoyed listening to your conversation. We do appreciate it. We hope that this has brought some global perspectives to listeners. We particularly want to make sure that all of our global members are represented in our member benefits. So thank you, all of you. You're doing some fascinating work. Amongst the panel today, we have senior fellows, principal fellows. We have Teaching Excellence Award winners in the form of National Teaching Fellows and the Kate Award, the Collaborative Award for Teaching Excellence. So we've got some real cream of the crop colleagues sharing their thoughts with us today, and we appreciate it. So thanks very much to all of you. We'll sign off for now, and please do take a look at the other resources in the member benefit theme for student success, because you will find the literature review and other podcasts and webinars and other resources that might be useful for your own employability, teaching and learning at your own institutions.